There's my clap, because I can't clap, because I got a busted hand. I'm getting it fixed Tuesday. All right. Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. We're winding down on the year 2021 and the fifth year here of Gospel Tangents. We're looking back on the people we've lost this past year, and so the last person we're going to look at is Will Grant Bagley. He was born to Lawrence Miles Bagley and Margene Bailey Bagley on May 27, 1950 in Salt Lake City, Utah. From the age of 9, he was raised in Oceanside, California, where his father was a lifelong mayor in the 1980s. His younger brother, Pat Bagley, became the notable Salt Lake Tribune editorial cartoonist. Bagley attended BYU in 67 and 68, and then he transferred to the University of California at Santa Cruz, where he obtained a BA in history in 1971. After working various jobs, it wasn't until 1995 when Will started his career as a professional historian. He has written more than 20 books, and in 2008, David Roberts dubbed him the sharpest of all thorns in the side of the Mormon historical establishment. In September of 2014, the Utah State Historical Society granted Bagley its most prestigious honor as a fellow, joining the ranks of such luminaries as Dale Morgan, Wallace Stegner, Juanita Brooks, and Leonard Arrington. The Western Writers of America gave Bagley its 2019 Owen Wister Award for Lifetime Contributions in Western Literature in 2019. He said it was an expression of affection from my WWA friends that is appreciated and humbling, for it calls to mind the words, "I am not worthy." Bagley's book, Blood of the Prophets, deals with the Mountain Meadows Massacre and has won numerous awards, including a spur from the Western Writers of America and Best Book Awards from the Denver Public Library and the Western History Association. The New York Review of Books described the study as an extensive, meticulously documented, highly readable history that captures the events and atmosphere that gave rise to the massacre, as well as its long, tortuous aftermath. Bagley has taken great care in negotiating the minefield presented by what remains of the historical record. Bagley lived and worked in Salt Lake City until his death, September 28th, 2021. Now, I just want to mention, about 1 year before, in 2020, I released the interview that I had with Will, and this was just weeks before the stroke that really slowed him down and then eventually took his life a year later. So I thought I would just let you hear Will's own words about kind of his thoughts and getting involved with the church and with the Mountain Meadows Massacre. Well, welcome to Gospel Tangents. I have one of the most famous Mormon historians.
Historians of Mormonism.
There you go.
I am not a Mormon historian. I am a historian of Mormonism.
All right.
And the West.
Okay.
Primarily the West.
So could you tell us who you are?
I'm Will Bagley. I am a native Utahn.
Mm-hmm.
I have a degree from the University of California at Santa Cruz. So, of course, I am a leftist pinko.
So, and then I understand you, so do you have a bachelor's from there, or is it a PhD or how?
I have a bachelor's.
Just a bachelor's.
I don't have any advanced degrees.
Okay.
I'm not qualified to teach at Salt Lake Community College.
I'm sure they'd take you, though.
They wouldn't.
They wouldn't, really?
No, they got their rules.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised to hear that.
I'm not.
Well, great. Well, you don't have to be a doctor to be a great historian, and you're one of the best.
Well,
one of the most prestigious, I would say.
We'll pan over to the awards I've received. Which are all over the office. This is a new office. It's not my traditional history cave.
Uh-huh.
Which had two rooms packed full of books. And most of the books are gone now.
Uh-huh.
But I wanted to make clear that what my position is on Mormonism.
Okay.
And I grew up in a household that was somewhat divided between my faithful mother, who loved the church, and my coffee drinking dad, who was not so crazy about it. And I was devoted to history, and I would read history books while suffering through sacrament meeting, which used to be like 2 hours long. And
3 hours long. Yeah. Oh, you're talking about just sacrament meeting. Because it used to be 90 minutes, I think.
Well, there used to be these ordeals on starving Sundays. And it was mostly to see how long it took to wear out your butt. And it definitely wore out my butt. Because now I've got arthritis so bad I can barely stay seated very long. But I've come to appreciate how much feeling matters in Mormonism. And I watched as my mother and father switched roles. And my father had a visionary experience when he was dying from peritonitis in the hospital. And he became the TBM. And my mother grew more and more skeptical. And she told me, not long before she died, she said, "I know it's all a lot of hooey, but I like it anyway." And I think that's it. So much of your relationship with Mormonism depends on your emotional relationship. If it works for you, it's going to work for you. And I had a harrowing summer. It's 2020, and we had the hottest summer I can remember in Salt Lake. And my beloved wife, Laura, went into the hospital on July 3rd and didn't get out for 40 days.
Oh, wow.
And I was terrified that I was going to lose her. And so I believe if people find comfort that takes them through life in any belief set, then I'm not going to do anything to discourage it. And I've had people look at my books, and I do say I don't intend to break anybody's testimony with these books, but some people do find them liberating, because that was my experience with leaving Mormonism when I was about 12. It was liberating. I felt free, and I was free of all these arcane, to me, what looked like very superstitious beliefs. But that's what worked for me, and I don't recommend it to anybody else. Well, I do recommend it, but try it out. See how it works for you. And the religion itself, the Book of Mormon says, at the very end in Moroni someplace, amid the piles of dead bodies. And you know, the one thing that people seldom note, that the casualties of these Book of Mormon battles are in the millions. And that's an awful lot more than any real battle in world history. But how could you stand the smell? But Moroni is waxing spiritual, and he says, if you want to know if this golden book is true, pray about it, and you will get a feeling. Which is how it works. And if you pray and you get the feeling, then it works for you. But it didn't do anything to me but make me bored. And I knew enough ancient history by the time I read the Book of Mormon when I was 12 to know that it was not an ancient record. And I would encourage people to read the Leviathan description in the Book of Job to see how embedded in time true ancient scriptures are, because it talks about sowing the fields and the nature of Leviathan, which is a reference to whales, I guess, but it's so part and parcel of the ancient world, and it reflects it that way. And for all of its high points, the Book of Mormon sure sounds like a Yankee book.
Okay.
It's very patriotic, but who knows? Well, anyway, when I was a kid, I was in the Oceanside Public Library after my father moved there. And I remember he pulled this set of books from the shelf.
Okay.
And he'd read it, and he opened it up and looked through it, and he said, if the federal authorities had known what is in these books, they would have hanged Brigham Young.
Hmm. This is the Diaries of John D. Lee.
Mormon Chronicle.
Okay.
The Diaries of John D. Lee.
Okay.
Which Juanita Brooks published about 1956, I think.
Okay.
It's in two volumes.
Okay.
It is one of the defining works of Juanita Brooks. And that takes me to my next subject, which is how much I admire and respect Juanita Brooks. And when I began working on full-time on the Mountain Meadows Massacre in 1995, the first thing I did was read I read the second edition, but this is the first edition of her Meadows Massacre.
Yeah.
And she did a minor update, which I've got around here someplace, in 1970. And I don't agree with everything Juanita Brooks concluded, but I can't help but recognize her courage and her dedication to the truth. And what the Mountain Meadows Massacre is a documentary history that Dale Morgan had helped her put together. And Morgan is another one of these great, what is often called amateur historians, because we don't have advanced degrees. But I think Morgan, who was absolutely brilliant, very carefully defined, he knew what the limits of the Mountain Meadows story were, what the church would accept and what they wouldn't. Because in the 1870s, the church manufactured the history that is now the church party line. And it was done for H.H. Bancroft. And they also schmoozed with Bancroft quite a bit. And Bancroft really liked underdogs and was very sympathetic to the Mormons. And they knew, the church historians, that if they could come up with a story that convinced H.H. Bancroft, they'd carry the way. And it worked.
So H.H. Bancroft must have been a publisher, or tell me more about
him.
He
was both. I had a set of his books. I've got them boxed up someplace. But he did a 39-volume History of the West. And he did histories of all the different states and regions. And he did a History of Utah that came out about 1890, I think.
Hmm.
And that became the church story. And what I think Morgan did was craft the Mountain Meadows Massacre so that if they hauled Juanita Brooks in to excommunicate her, he could say, you can't excommunicate me. This is your story. This is what you say happened. And it was true. But whatever it was a courageous book. And she worked within very narrow confines, but did an absolutely beautiful job. And I want to read a quote.
Okay.
Because at the end of Mountain Meadows Massacre, let me see, I'm going to go. I had the book sitting right over here so I could grab it. Okay, here is the second edition of the Mountain Meadows Massacre. And it's not very long, but it's absolutely the essential documents. and everything that had emerged and that Juanita Brooks found in her long life, because she was 52 when the book came out. And she came to four basic conclusions. And the first one was, while Brigham Young and George A. Smith, the church authorities chiefly responsible, did not specifically order the massacre, they did preach sermons and set up social conditions which made it possible. Now, to me, that is assigning who holds the moral responsibility for the worst event to ever happen in Utah, outside of a couple of massacres of Indians. And I think that pretty well defines who deserves to be held accountable. This is what will probably be my next to last book. I'm still working on another book, but this is called River Fever, Adventures on the Mississippi, 1969 to 1972. And that is a miracle picture, because the end of the book happens very quickly after that. And it's about what it was like to be young in the late 60s and early 70s. And I really am delighted that Signature Books decided to publish it. But it hasn't sold any copies at all. So if you really want to know the inside story on Will Bagley, this is it. And besides that, there is an afterword where I actually deal with Mountain Meadows.
Oh.
And this is also a story of how I wanted to recreate the 19th century and experience history. Many who write history are seeking some version of immortality. We hope our names will live as long as books endure. We see the limits of being human all around, but we are creatures who cannot comprehend huge numbers, let alone eternity. Being a parent or grandparent is as close to heaven as any of us deserve, so a foolish desire to live forever merely confirms what an Old Testament existentialist wrote several thousand years ago. Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. As with all my friends who do creative work, when the job is done, all you see are its flaws. I joke about retiring after my work is done, but making books is all I ever wanted to do, and I expect to keep doing it until I can do it no more. I'm still dreaming and hoping those dreams come true. When I told an old drunken Osceola, I am Huck Finn, I wasn't kidding. I still am. So, it's cheap too. All my other books cost quite a bit, but this is you get this book for less than $20.
All right, well, I'm going to send a shout out to Mel Johnson. I understand you know Mel. Mel helped me set this up interview with you.
Yeah.
And so how do you go back? You go back way with Mel.
We go back to seminary.
Wow. You went to seminary with Mel?
In California.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks again, Will. I really appreciate you being here on Gospel Tangents.
Well, it was fun.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Will Bagley. I know the Mormon historians community really misses him. And he was a big contributor, and he passed away in Salt Lake City on September 28th, 2021. So, Will, we really miss you. We know you're an amazing scholar, and wish you were still here. So, that concludes our 599th episode and our fifth year. So, I want to wish you all a happy new year. This is the end of 2021, and so Happy New Year with 2022. It's going to be our sixth year, and around the turn of the year, we are going to celebrate our 600th episode. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed our look back at the people we've missed over 2021, including, of course, Will Bagley, Shannon Flynn, Kurt Bench, Armand Moss, and Dr. Michael Quinn. So tremendous losses this year. I also just want to add really quickly, Garth Norman and John Sorensen recently passed away just within the last week or two, as well as Michael DePillis. So those are other amazing scholars in the historians community, and they will be missed as well. So anyway, Happy New Year, and look forward to our 600th episode and our sixth year in just a few days. Thanks a lot. Bye. For those of you who are interested in the entire interview uncut without any interruptions, sign up at patreon.com/gospeltangents, and you can hear the entire interview for just $5 a month. Also, we have other tiers. If you'd like to subscribe on our website at gospeltangents.com, click on the yellow subscribe button, and you can subscribe for $10. You can also do that on Patreon and get a PDF transcript. We've also got some other ones for $15 and $20 if you'd like to get those as well. If you're interested in individual transcripts, go to Amazon.com and do a search for Gospel Tangents interview, and you can see our past interviews there in paperback form. So just check out Gospel Tangents. We're always updating those. For the latest updates on Facebook, go to Facebook.com/Gospel Tangents, and you can see our latest updates there. We're also on Twitter at Gospel Tangents. Of course, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. And please give us a 5-star rating for those of you who listen to audio only. So once again, thanks for listening. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got some more of our great videos. Thanks again.